The following is a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio. Keep your mission on your mind, and your mind on your mission. This is Mission Minded with Michael Coleman.
Welcome back to another edition of Mission Minded. Keep your mind, your mission, your mind. He is Michael Coleman. He's the CEO of the Montgomery Area Food Bank. That's MAFB.org. They carry 35 counties in the wonderful state of Alabama and working through Feeding America. Do wonderful work. I'm Tony Curry, and this is a show about non-for-profits, about business. We take emails, info at TonyCurryRadio.net. And of course, as always, you can hear the show at least five times a week on the TKR app, Tony Curry Radio app. Thanks to thousands and thousands of folks who've already downloaded that app. Be one of our big old traditional family of rockers who like to not only do some classic rock, but listen to some great programming, unique programming as well. And of course, you can also check us out on the Tony Curry Radio podcast network, wherever you get your favorite podcast. All the shows are up. Michael, how you doing, brother? Everything good? We're actually recording this day on Memorial Day. We work on holidays around here, but welcome to the show and thanks for being part of it.
Yeah, so much so. And thinking about this day and so many families have people who have given their life for the good of this country, and just so thankful for people committed to that. It has a warm place in my heart, being that I am retired Army. But I will tell you, I never had to do anything close to what so many of these people did, and the bravery that you see and the commitment they show. It's just remarkable.
Yeah, you know, I made myself watch a war movie the other night, and I try to do it around these days because I just don't think people realize just how, first of all, just how many people have actually given their lives and sacrificed so much for the freedom of this country. And I watched Hacksaw Ridge, and I was like, man, I mean, if that movie doesn't really clarify exactly the sacrifices and the wonderful work that everyone in our military does, and to give their lives for that sacrifice is just amazing stuff. So our thoughts and prayers go out to everyone on this particular day. Info at TonyCurryRadio.net. Today you wanted to get into leaders who destroy and leaders who deliver and the biggest differences there. But we do have a couple of emails, and we get emails every single week, info at TonyCurryRadio.net. I try to work back to the earliest ones. But Samantha in Wetumpka had a very interesting question. She works for a computer software firm, and she was recently up for a promotion after working at this business for 7 years as a senior software advisor. She was well-liked. She's been there for 7 years, knew everybody in the office. Everyone told her she had a great shot at getting this gig, and then she didn't get the promotion. They hired a gentleman who was just hired in the firm about a year ago, and she is absolutely distraught. And I'm paraphrasing here because it goes for about a page and a half. She doesn't know what to do at this point. She loves where she works. She's been there forever, but she just kind of saw in her dreams and in her progress of this job that she was going to get this promotion. She felt like by talking to other senior advisors that she had a great shot at it, and it fell apart. And now, quite frankly, she said, I'm filled with resentment. Michael, what should I? She said, Michael, what should I do?
Well, I certainly understand that. I think the best thing I could encourage you to do is sit down with the decision maker.
Yes.
And get a calendar on his or her, get an appointment on his or her calendar. You need to write out, express everything, because first, before you go in there, and I'm talking about a day or two prior, where you want to write everything out. To help get your emotions and help get a very clear focus on what you want the meeting to be about. If you go in there with full of resentment, it is very likely that as those emotions start to be released, mm-hmm. you're going to be all over the place. Yep. And so what you want to be is very much under control. So you need to release those emotions. And I found that whether you journal or whatever, or type up emails you never send out, just writing it down. But if you go through that exercise, not only will it help you get rid of some of that emotions, but it'll help you prioritize what your true issues are. So when I think you go in there and sit down with the boss, you're able to articulate, okay, there's three issues that bother me, and they all revolve around me not getting the promotion. And number one, I had seniority to this person, mm-hmm. number two, and then you just are able to articulate the things that are in your favor. And then when that leader speaks back to you, then really weigh what that person has to say. When you do, then I think I would really encourage you not to go talk to other leaders within the organization, because it can look as though that you're trying to create disharmony, if you will. You're trying to almost get back at the company. And I know that's not what you're trying to do. You're very likely, and I totally understand it. You're trying to get to the heart of why you didn't get that promotion. So I would take what they say, and then you need to evaluate that, and you need to say, were they being honest? Did they identify what I could do, what kept me from getting the promotion? So an example might be if they say, well, this position required this level of technical expertise that you have not yet obtained.
Mm-hmm.
And this person was certified in this. I mean, that would just be an example. However, if they cannot lay out for you why, in a very clear way, somebody who'd been on the job for a year was promoted ahead of you, and you've been there for 7 years, and you are have good evaluations, you have the respect of the company, which you lay out in your email that you do, then you've got a decision to make as to where you go from here. And if you genuinely feel like that there are other reasons, such as you're a woman or might be a person of color, I don't know what the reasoning is. And if you legitimately there's no real reason, there's no really good reason why I didn't get that promotion, then, and your boss doesn't share that with you, then you can, and that's what it's for. You can go to the EEOC and file a complaint. Now, here's the thing. You can do that. And you're actually protected. They can't come back and fire you because that's considered retaliation.
Yeah.
So, and I've had somebody do that to me before. There was a woman in a previous job who felt like that she should have been making more than what two other people were making. And I had to give an account for that as to why she was not. Now, it worked out in our favor, but that's the bottom line for you is, look, if there's a legitimate reason, just tell me the legitimate reason. But if it's not a legitimate reason, then I would encourage you, if it's going to bother you, which obviously it does, you force their hand and make them come up with a legitimate reason, which an EEOC complaint would do. And then at that point, you have a decision to make. Can I stay with this company, or do I move on from this company? Do I further pursue legal action if you felt like it was biased in any way? But that's the process for you moving forward, I think.
Yeah. Michael Coleman, Montgomery Food Bank. This is Mission Minded. This is really interesting. So can a decision maker hire somebody over another individual just because they like them better? And what I mean by that is they just see more upside. Maybe they're more extroverted. Maybe they have the same characteristics or personality as the boss has and says, listen, I think this person is going to utilize his position at a much higher level than you, despite the fact that you have equally the same amount of expertise in that area. Can that happen?
Yeah, it happens all the time. The problem is, how is it articulated and how is it presented? So the reason the EEOC, I mean, there's an unwritten bias that we all have. If we like people who think like us, who have the same personalities, it may be the same gender, where you feel like, hey, I can get behind closed doors and we can have good old boys, whatever it is. Nothing intentionally anti-woman, nothing intentionally against somebody of person of color. I mean, it happens. You could be a woman and you want just women in leadership. You could be an African-American and you just want to hire African-American leadership. But I think what the whole point is everybody deserves a fair shot. And if you have to give an account in our world, even though Alabama's a right-to-work state, you have to give an account if you elevate somebody over somebody else and that person is in a protected class. And the reality is everybody who is not a white male, in essence, is in a protected class. You're either because of your gender or because you're a person of color or ethnicity, you know, whatever it may be. It could be your religion. I've been in situations where somebody didn't want to hire somebody because they were more Protestant and this person was Catholic and they didn't want to hire a Catholic. But ended up having to because they brought up the person's religion in a interview and left them wide open for a lawsuit. So I'm saying biases happen all the time. I think you go in there, you have an honest conversation. If you feel like your boss is being honest with you, you felt like, well, this person was just more qualified, but I think they owe you that answer. Then you have a decision. Do you accept that? Do you feel like, okay, he does have more and so I get it. I just have to get over it. Or I'm not satisfied with that answer. I don't believe he has more. I've put more into this company and I think I've been done wrong and I want a greater accounting than what this business owner's has given me. And that's what EOC is about, is giving you that recourse.
Yeah. And let me ask you this, and a follow-up question to Samantha. He is Michael Coleman, the CEO of the Montgomery Area Food Bank. I'm Tony Curry. This is Mission Minded. You can hear the show 5 times a week on TKR. Is there ever a situation as an employee where you should go in and say, if I don't get this promotion, I'm leaving, even if you don't have a backup job? Is that ever a good thing to do?
Ooh, I will tell you.
I mean, you're calling a bluff, right? I mean, you need to know where you are in that organization before you go there. And it certainly helps to have something to fall back on. But I know a lot of people that have done it.
Yeah. I mean, that goes back to one of those. I would never advise somebody to do that. But I get it. If somebody is like giving everything they can to this company and they just feel like they're just being totally ignored. I will tell you, going back from the business side of this for just a second, this is why I stay on my leaders all the time, because about this very issue, because we don't want to take the time to sit down and document when employees perform badly. So I've been in organizations where an employee has performed badly all year, but they think they're doing great because while they've been corrected along the way or verbally corrected, nothing's ever been written down, and the supervisor doesn't have the courage on their evaluation to tell them what reality is. And so they think it's good. Well, the way that bites you is if you go to EOC and I try to make a statement, we've had problems this whole last year from this employee, and they go, show me anything that's documented.
Yeah.
And the reality is, if you think about it, if you've not taken the time to sit down and tell that employee what they're doing wrong, how in the world do you expect somebody to correct something that they've not been told about? I mean,
that sounds like marriage. What? Well, why didn't you tell me, honey? I didn't know.
Hey, I'm coming at next month's my 39th wedding anniversary. If I could have taken my wife to court over that, she'd have gotten locked up years ago.
You idiot. You should have known better. Why should I have to tell you?
That's right. But no, I mean, when it comes down, but that's why that process. Now, look, I'm not saying sue the company. When I say go to the EOC, it's not suing the company. It's just a protective measure that brings your boss to the table that he has to give an accounting in front of an outside to make sure that he is operating within the boundaries of the federal labor laws. And I think it, you know what, I operate as if I could be sued any day. And so when I talk to my HR, when I'm talking to my leaders, I'm like, look, if we're going to make a move, if we're promoting somebody, we better make sure that everybody was considered first. And we document that. We're going to hire somebody. We better make sure, you know, there's just a right way to do it and a wrong way. And if you take shortcuts and you do something like this, and I know nothing more than what she's just shared with us, but you could be endangering your business, or at least leaving yourself open to a potential lawsuit down the road that could cost you quite a bit of money.
All right. We'll always get to your emails, info@TonyCurryRadio.net. This is Mission Minded here. Listen to it on TKR at least 5 days a week. And of course, also on our podcast network. You can check it out. We're available on every major podcast network out there, including, of course, Spotify as well. We'll get some more emails here, but your answers are great, and they always create other topics. Way to go, Michael. Every time you answer a question, I get a topic out of it. But you did want to get into the big difference between leaders who destroy and leaders who deliver. Please explain yourself, and where did you come up with this idea?
Yeah, so I'm reading stuff all the time, and there's just some great graphs out there. And sometimes when I see stuff, I look at it and I measure myself against it, because as a leader, I know that I've got room I can improve on. And so I look at what these things are, and then I try to do an honest evaluation. And sometimes it's very difficult, because I always evaluate. I think we're guilty of this. We like to evaluate ourselves. When we evaluate ourselves, we take into consideration what our motives are. And when we're evaluating other people, we tend not to look at their motives. We tend to just look at their actions. And so that's why we tend to judge other people more harshly and ourselves more lenient, with a lot more lenience. But I just look at some things. This is not a determination of how well I'm doing at it, but just things I really stand out. And so I thought, hey, I just want to share this because I know it's a big deal to me and it's a big deal to my employees. But so it's not everything on this list, but one of the things that I think we are terrible at is leaders who deliver, boy, they share the maximum amount of information. Now, let me tell you, this is a thing that my employees will tell me. If you talk to my HR, she will tell you this is some of the greatest things Michael does and some of the worst thing Michael does, because I love being transparent. And it brings accountability to me. So I like let my leaders know. I tell them things that really they don't have to know, but I like sharing information so it helps them see a bigger picture, and it's showing that I trust them with this information. And I'm not talking about sensitive information like other people's salaries and things like that, but just constantly talking to them about bigger things, bigger ideas, bigger plans, and not just spoon feeding it down. I want them to have the full picture of where we're going. But then sometimes I do that and I may inadvertently share too much information, which makes my HR just cringe, because she's like, oh, I wish you hadn't said that because you did that. So I'm very guilty in that. But if I'm going to err, I'd rather err on giving too much information and not just saying, well, I'll answer your question, but I'm gonna just give you as little as possible. And I think from a morale standpoint, if somebody comes to my office and they ask me any question, I never, unless it's just a HIPAA protection question or something so sensitive like somebody else's salary, I'm going to take the time to sit down and explain to them why I made the decision that I did, all the things I took into consideration, which again goes back to the very thing we're talking about with this email, with our last email caller. When she said, if her boss would have called her in and said, I know you've been here 7 months, 7 years. I know you're up for a promotion. I chose this person. Let me share with you why. And then maybe he could have said, but you're so valuable. Maybe he throws in an extra week vacation. Maybe he gives her a raise anyway, but at least considers her a valuable employee, but not saying anything to her. Now it's created this resentment because now she has to go pry for information. So, I mean, that's a great example of where more information and you taking the time to share with employees is ultimately better in my view.
Does that paint a weird picture though for an employer to give a perk to a person who doesn't get a promotion though? I mean, it's basically saying, listen, I'm sorry, but here we want to throw you a bone or we want to give you a raise.
Yeah.
It's making it look like you made a mistake is what it looks like to me. And I understand that maybe from the heart, it looks like a good situation. But if you're not getting the promotion that you thought for sure you were going to get, and all of a sudden they're giving you a $5,000 raise, I don't know what that really says.
Yeah, no, I get that. I mean, so let's say, for instance, I've got somebody who maybe on the surface, I know all things being considered probably deserves, but I've got this home run hitter that I've hired. And I know long-term he's going to be a better fit.
Yeah.
So now I've got a 7-year employee and I have to think about, Well, if I was considering her for a promotion, well, then she's obviously got some value. Just because she got beat out doesn't mean she doesn't have value.
Yeah.
So I don't want her leaving this process totally defeated. And like she is, she's resentful, she's upset, she doesn't know why. So I think it's better to call them in and say, hey, you're valuable. I know you didn't get this promotion. I don't know when the next opportunity is going to be, but I want to show you, I want to communicate your value to me, not just verbally. And you do something that way. Again, it's not to manipulate, but it's to communicate that even though you didn't get the employee, you didn't get the promotion, you have incredible value to this company. And I think a soft raise or something given to them shows respect, and you're paying respect and showing them dignity and showing them, hey, you don't want them to leave. I mean, right now that boss, I'm assuming he thinks she's a valuable employee. He's in danger of losing her, and he may not even know it.
Yeah. There's a lot of difference. He's Michael Coleman. This is Mission Minded, a great show we do every single week, runs five times in the TKR app. And thanks to everyone who's downloaded the app TKR through Apple and Tony Curry Radio through Android. There's a lot of people that are in their businesses, and we're talking about leaders who destroy and leaders who deliver, that are team leaders. They don't have a title, but they're known as a team leader. I was certainly that in the radio world for a long period of time. We had morning show people that you would think would be leaders because they were the morning show people, but I was the afternoon guy and I had a lot of leverage and of course a lot of equity in my company because I was there for so long. And then you have leaders who are paid like leaders. They're general managers, or they're, in this particular case, a senior software advisor or whatever, and they have their management. They have people underneath them that must report to them. I guess that's the biggest difference. Being a team leader, you know, no one had to report to me, but when you have people reporting to you, is there any type of, we talked about this through AI last week with Indeed and Monster and all these different places where you can get a job by, is there any type of psychiatric or psychological evaluations that go along with hiring a leader? And the reason I question that is we've all worked for some really lousy bosses that quite frankly were not good people persons. They weren't. They just weren't good people. Sure. They just, you know, they just did not know how to navigate issues and the trauma and things with employees. Is that something that is evaluated in the business world we're in right now before you hire a leader?
It's very difficult because you have formal leaders and informal leaders. So there's the guy who's the boss because he's in a certain position, but he's not a good leader. He's not effective. Then you got the person maybe that's on the floor, that's part of the group, that's the informal leader, where everybody else is going to take their cues from him. And that's very hard. If that person wants to leave, it's very hard for him to put that in a resume in a way that conveys his value or the potential value that it would come. I mean, you look at a lot of people who are leaders, just look at professional sports. Lots of times they'll bring an older guy on a young basketball team or a baseball team or football team because they bring maturity. They bring just that sense of calmness over the course of the season, just having them in that presence. But they're not getting paid like the star quarterback. They're not getting all those kind of things. And they're happy. They're perfectly happy in that role. They're very valuable. And so, you know, companies need to do a better job of recognizing those people. And even though they're not, you know, because they may not want to move up and take on like a formal leadership, they may be happy being on the line. But man, you can't diminish their value because they can influence so many others. They're your voice to the other guys, keeping them motivated. It's not the person you're paying to do it. It's that informal leader. And so it's really important that we, you know, recognize those people in your organization. I have one that we asked to take on a higher leadership role. He said he didn't want to, but wanted to be here a part of the organization. And he's somebody that we count on. I can go to him with anything. He's just not interested in being higher up. But I tell you what, he's still got a raise at the end of the year because I know how valuable he is.
There you go. He is Michael Coleman. It is Montgomery Area Food Bank. They cover 35 counties. They work with Feeding America. They do wonderful work. We're talking about leaders who destroy and leaders who deliver. I did want to get to this last email only because we just got some resolution to this particular situation. Jimmy in Birmingham, Joe Biden and Kevin McCarthy reached a debt ceiling deal this past Saturday night, a couple of nights ago. So this email was actually a couple of days before that, but wanted to know how that debt ceiling resolution would have played out if, in fact, it hadn't happened for non-for-profits and government agencies like Feeding America. Does it affect you at all directly in the fact that it's a done deal? Obviously, things aren't going to change, but what's your thoughts on that?
Yeah, so anything that I remember in the military, when I was in the military, so I was part of this government entity, obviously, and if they were arguing over that, those kind of things, that sometimes it could delay your paycheck, or there was the threat of a delayed paycheck and stuff like that. Given the fact that we're in the food banking game and we deal with the USDA and dollars and things like that, yeah, that those kind of things, it can affect it and can kind of slow down those processes. Which, again, ultimately hurts the very people in our communities all across the United States that we're trying to help. Other than that, your average nonprofit that's doing your work in community is not dependent on government funds. I mean, you'll have like homeless shelter sometimes. It'll get HUD dollars, but that's usually been budgeted out. And so that's usually not going to be affected. It's more the USDA and things like that where it can get a little muddy. But it's never good for nonprofits when the government when there's instability, because that affects the markets. Lots of people who are your donors are the people who pull from their savings and say, okay, I'm going to give X amount. Well, their savings are all invested. So the government acts difficult. The markets get shaky. You lose money in the markets. The people typically don't have as much money to donate. So indirectly, yes, it affects us. And sometimes we won't see the effect of that, you know, for months. It all depends on how quick the markets rebound and that whole process. So it's kind of built in a little bit. I don't watch markets on a daily basis, but it's all just kind of part of the process. And it goes up and it goes down. And, you know, I can't get too emotionally tied up in that. I just have to keep my eyes focused on what we're doing. But indirectly, it does have an effect.
I got you. Michael, tell people how they can find you. You do wonderful work. And of course, we have another show we're going to be starting here on Tony Curry Radio, hopefully sometime in early June. So we're super stoked about that, primarily about the Montgomery Food Bank and all the wonderful work you do. I've gotten an opportunity to come down there and walk through your facility, and I was just absolutely blown away by how sufficient you are, and it's just amazing the work you do down there, and I know that behind the scenes there's probably a little chaos, but it's just amazing how it's a well-oiled machine down there, and you do wonderful work. But tell people how they can help you out.
Yeah, so I mean, go to our website mafb.org, and I will tell you, I would encourage you again to give to your local food bank, but not just give, but go down and take a visit to the nearest food bank. Now, we're not talking about a food pantry from a church, although that's very important. We're talking about your food banks. Find out where your Feeding America food bank is and go pay them a visit, ask for a tour, and see all that's going in just across the United States, and really get involved. There's so many volunteer opportunities. There's so much need that's out there. Really, I just would encourage people to become a part of what we're doing, and real excited about the food bank podcast. We're coming to help educate people, but to get them more involved, because this is a fight we can win. We do believe there's enough food in America, and particularly here in Alabama, to feed everybody in need. But it is an incredible logistical endeavor. And we just need everybody's hands in that to make sure that our neighbors are cared for and that we have the kind of communities of care that we desire to have.
Michael, we'll catch up next week. Thank you, brother. Appreciate you.
Enjoy it as always.
This has been a special presentation of Tony Curry Radio.